This episode is brought to you by Odd Mo's Pizza in Canby. Handmade awesome pizza plus craft beer, cider, and wine delivered. Call them today at 503-266-8444.
This episode is also brought to you by the Canby Liquor Store. Father's Day is coming, and they really have everything that your dad really wants. From hand-selected gifts you won't find anywhere else, to small batch bourbons and unique craft beers. Find them in the Fred Meyer Shopping Center. Welcome to Now Hear This, Canby,
your source for news.
The threat of a possible teacher strike was avoided this week.
There's a new irresistibly cute creature winning over fans, and its name is Scootaloo.
Sports?
It's like Lucy in the football. You want to kick a field goal, but they take it away from you.
We had to learn how to win.
Goal can't be in the last second of the game!
And interesting conversations.
Because I'm one of the strongest girls ever, and I know that for a fact.
I just really enjoy writing gossip as if I was a bear.
With an old maid daughter that make the best moonshine in the coast.
If it would have hit me in the face, I think I would have died. I really do.
I guarantee you would have died, man. Are you kidding me?
A brave contingent from the Canby Fire District is in Wasco County again to aid the state's response to a massive wildfire. Barely a week after three Canby firefighters returned from the head of the Mosier Creek Fire in central Oregon, another crew is deployed Friday morning to the massive White River blaze, which has burned at least 11,000 acres in Wasco County and is an estimated 10% contained. Like with Mosier Creek, Canby Fire was activated as part of a statewide response following Governor Kate Brown's emergency conflagration declaration for White River. Division Chief Matt English tells Now Hear This, Canby, the White River fire is active near Pine Grove, an unincorporated community of some 200 souls. At the time of the declaration, about 6:20 a.m., 108 residents were under level 3 mandatory evacuation orders, with an additional 192 homes under level 2 and 1. The declaration made by Governor Brown cleared the way for the state fire marshal to mobilize firefighters and equipment to assist local resources battling the fire, English explained. The Office of State Marshal's Red Incident Management Team has been mobilized, and the three structural task forces from Central Oregon and Clackamas and Washington counties, and personnel from OSFM, arrived throughout the day Friday at staggered intervals using COVID-19 migration measures at the staging area in Tighe Valley. Crews will be working to protect threatened structures and property, English said. Firefighting resources across the state have been stretched this month in the wake of nearly a dozen large wildfires, Governor Brown said. I am asking all Oregonians to remain vigilant with any activity that could spark a wildfire, she said. We all need to do our part to help the many firefighters who are on the front lines by preventing human-caused wildfires during the COVID-19 pandemic. The Clackamas County Fairgrounds is fun again. Fairgrounds features Canby's much-anticipated new drive-in opened for the first time Friday with the showing of a new movie, The New Mutants. Tickets cost $25 per car and were on sale Friday and Saturday afternoon at Canby Cinema 8. Distributed by 20th Century Studios, The New Mutants is the 13th and final installment in the X-Men film series and tells the story of a group of young mutants, led by Maisie Williams, Wolfsbane, held in a secret facility that fight to save themselves. Originally intended for release in April 2018, the film faced several delays for various reasons and has become one of the few new Hollywood movies to be released in theaters amid the coronavirus pandemic. The Fairgrounds had hoped to build a permanent drive-in theater this summer in the yellow lot on the property's northwest corner, which could accommodate an estimated 400 visitors. But the lost revenue from the many canceled events forced them to pivot to a temporary model while they build revenue and support for the build-out of the permanent installment. The drive-in is located on the fairgrounds proper, where the temporary livestock barn is erected during the county fair. Guests are asked to queue up at the blue lot if you arrive early. This weekend also featured the return of the Taste of Fair food court and the modified drive-through version of the 26th annual Cutsforth's Cruisin'. Canby High School social studies teacher Bob Hammett likes to make people think. Don't believe me? It's true. He even wrote a book about it. Dubbed Timeless Trivia, 1,000 Questions, Teasers, and Stumpers for When You Have Nothing But Time, Hammett's book goes on sale on Amazon this week. But the writing of it began months ago, in the early days of the pandemic, when he started hosting trivia nights on his Instagram to help his friends and himself keep their sanity. I was just trying to think of something I could do to be helpful to people, Hammett tells Now Hear This Canby. I came up with the idea of running a trivia contest on Instagram, asked a few students and former students if they'd be interested, and they said yes, so we did it. The games, not surprisingly, got pretty competitive. We did 25 questions each night, and they were a really wide variety, said Hammett, who has long been known for the bite-sized history lessons and interesting factoids he regularly shares on his Facebook page and blog, The Unfinished Pyramid. I was trying to make it where everyone from 15 years old to 80 years old feel like they knew some questions. The effort was successful in helping Hammett and his friends reconnect during the onset of the distancing era and cope with the stress and challenges of the coronavirus and all its associated issues. But it has also showcased the generosity of Canby community itself. The prize each night was a $20 gift card to a local restaurant, but most of these were declined not because the recipient didn't like the food or had no need of it, but because they wanted to see it go to someone who needed it even more. I was really amazed and so proud of the generosity of so many people. Many of them who were experiencing hardships of their own, Hammett said. The questions themselves also took on something of a life of their own and inspired Hammett to make the book. A few friends asked him to email the questions because they wanted to play with their own families and friends, he said. Pat Johnson, the retired longtime principal at Canby High School, used them for a class he was teaching in Southern California. Hammett's favorite was a friend in Massachusetts who used the idea to raise money for kids in need in his community. I felt really proud of that, he said. All of the people I sent them to were really appreciative. So I thought, wow, if I package them up all into an ebook or something, more people could have fun and could maybe make a few bucks too. I mean, the work was already done. The topics include sports, history, geography, science, movies, music, televisions, and so on. The collection is meant to be challenging to young, old, in between, and fun for all different types of people. A few examples. At 8 minutes, 36 seconds, what is the longest song ever to reach number one on the Billboard charts? What did Disneyland begin selling to the general public inside of the park for the first time in 2019? And name the college football program that appeared in every season-ending AP Top 25 poll from 1969 to 2001. For the record, that would be American Pie by Don McLean, Alcohol, and the Nebraska Cornhuskers. The Kindle version will be $1.99 for the first 5 days on Amazon and then go up to $4.99 after that. Price and availability for the paperback version has not been set. Stay tuned to our website, canbyfirst.com, for details to come. After launching a new citywide reading program in Canby last week, designed to help folks stay connected and replace some of the adult educational programming wrecked by the coronavirus pandemic, the library and volunteers are unveiling a similar initiative this week aimed at teens. Like the rest of the library's planned in-person activities, teen programming, which had previously been in a major upswing, has been decimated by much of this year, thanks to COVID-19. Coupled with distance learning and the loss of most sports and extracurricular activities, teens in Cambie have lost many of their traditional means of connecting and interacting with one another. Enter the community-wide Teen Read, sponsored by the non-for-profit Friends of the Cambie Public Library. Like the adult version, the program provides free copies of the same book, Long Way Down by Black author Jason Reynolds, to participants and then provides opportunities for them to interact. In this case, the library will be facilitating a Zoom discussion to conclude the Teen Read on September 24th. Written in free verse and the winner of numerous children's books awards, Long Way Down tracks the journey of 15-year-old Will Down, a single elevator ride after he has resolved to get revenge for the murder of his older brother 2 days prior. Recommended for grades 8 and up, the novel explores the cycle of inner-city violence in which kids like Will and his brother Sean have been brought up. Free copies are available at the Cambie Public Library and may be picked up during curbside delivery hours. Call 503-266-0650 to reserve your copy. Now Hear This Sports is brought to you by Reif & Hunsaker PC. When you need an attorney, turn to the firm Cambie has trusted for over 50 years. Call them today at 503-266-3456. The coronavirus executed a takedown this year of Clackamas Community College's annual crab feed and auction fundraiser, which has helped the college's wrestling team become one of the nation's top programs over the past decade. But the Cougars are not ready to tap out. Last year, the crab feed set a new record, raising $53,000. These donations directly impact the college's ability to outfit the team, travel, gain exposure for the athletes, and continue to recruit excellent talent for the coming year. I'm devastated to announce that due to COVID-19, our crab feed wrestling champs and tournaments have all been canceled. CCC wrestling coach Josh Roden said, "These are our only sources of funding for this nationally prominent program. Without the revenue these events generate, I worry that we will give up ground that took us 15 years to gain." To help combat these losses, Clackamas Community College has started an online fundraising campaign. Money raised will go directly to help fund the wrestling program. The campaign will end on what would have been the crab feed date of September 26th. Even though we are not having our popular crab feed in auction, we are asking for your continued support by making a donation to our team through the CCC Foundation, Roden said. For the past decade, CCC wrestling has been synonymous with success on both the wrestling mat and in the classroom as well. Student athletes at CCC have earned a 2-year graduation and transfer rate of 75%, all while providing the campus community with the on-the-mat success that is unmatched. Since 2010-11 season, CCC Wrestling has either won the national championships or finished as the national runner-up on 6 occasions. The other 4 finishes were 4th, 3rd, 3rd, and 6th, respectively. The team has also won 7 national dual meet championships and produced 66 All-Americans. This success is directly related to the giving the college receives from the community, Roden said. "Help us continue to produce high-quality wrestlers, students, and young men," Roden said. "Your continued support is going to be instrumental in our maintaining the type of program we all have come to know and love. Help us overcome adversity and move into the next decade of dominance. To donate, visit give.clackamas.edu/wrestling. Hey, Frankie, do you ever wonder why some businesses aren't, like, more transparent?
Oh, yeah. Like, some of the old buildings downtown are so dark. Get some more windows,
no.
You know?
No. I mean, like, transparent as in being open and honest about their business practices.
Oh.
Yeah, like DirectLink is a good example. They don't have internet data caps or charge extra fees for high usage.
Oh, yeah, which is great with all the internet I've been using since this whole COVID situation started.
They also don't charge infrastructure build fees like some other providers, and they're active in our community, too. Check out their philanthropic efforts at directlink.coop/community.
Did you know that they also hold an annual meeting every year where members can talk directly with the board of directors and upper management?
Talk about transparent. You won't see any other companies being that accessible. DirectLink really is here for us. Call 503-266-8111 or visit directlink.coop to learn more today. Hey there, folks. Tyler Clausen coming at you with the Cambie Convo today. Of course, it was a lot of different convos, and it was in a super fun place. I got to go out and hang out with a few people at the Cruise Inn, and my wife and I just basically drove through the entire thing, looked at all the cool cars, and awkwardly asked people to come up to our car while we shove a microphone in their face and ask them some questions. So I hope you enjoy my outing as I got to go and hang out with some really cool people. Here we go. All right, so hopefully the microphone is picking me up. This is Tyler Clausen out in the field, not Tyler Frankie for once. And I'm sitting here in my car looking at somebody else's car. Do you want to introduce yourself?
I'm Rick Kendall. Got a 31 Model A coupe.
All right, and so what brings you down? What brings you to this specific event?
Just people and cars and checking everything out.
Yeah. Have you been to the Cambie Cruisin' before?
This is my first time here at this location.
Okay, and obviously this is how it normally goes, right?
Yeah.
Have you been able to engage with a lot of people?
A few people, yeah. They've been, mostly the people that are here with the show will come and talk to you and stuff.
Sure.
And then.
And do you want to tell me the history of this vehicle here?
I've had it for a couple years now. Put a Y-Block 292 in it with a marine injection on it out of a Chris-Craft boat.
Okay.
It's got an overdrive transmission, Jaguar rear end.
Nice.
On it.
How long have you been working on it?
A couple years now.
Yeah? And is it something that you've always wanted to do, like showing classic cars and stuff, or is it just something you fell into?
Oh, yeah, it's something I've always been wanting to do. Yeah. I had a 64 Fairlane beforehand that I used to show and 52 Ford pickup.
Nice. Very
so
cool.
This is another project.
Well, thank you so much for your time. We're just gonna keep grabbing some more. This is such a cool, I like everything about these cars, these roadster type cars.
Sure.
Is there something about this that appeals to you, or is it just?
I just like the old classic Model A's, hot rods.
All right, thank you so much.
Anything with wheels.
I'm sorry, what was your name?
My name's Rick.
Rick, good to meet you, Rick. What is the history of this car here that we're looking at?
This is a 2013 Mustang MCA edition, gotta have a green color, that we just bought from my wife 3 weeks ago from somebody in our club that bought it new that was needing to sell because they lost their jobs.
Okay.
So she saw the car on Facebook and said, hey, let's buy this. So I brought it to the car show.
Right, yeah. What else are you going to do with a cool car, right?
Right, yeah.
Have you been to this car show before?
No, I live in Woodburn, but I've never been to this one. Always had conflict, so
yeah.
Since there's no car shows this year hardly at all, I thought it's just up the street. I'm going here.
Nice.
Yeah.
And so, what do you? How do you feel about this year's car show?
It's really great. I mean, there's lots of cars. I like the venue. How you can just drive through and see, you know, the cars. You can drive through and look at them and stuff. And it's working really great. So.
Awesome. Thank you so much for your time.
You're welcome.
Have a good day.
You too.
Hi there, my name's Tyler.
Hi, Tyler.
I'm with the local newspaper and podcast.
Okay, great.
What was your name?
My name's Scott.
Scott, good to meet you, sir. So, can you tell me the history of this car here?
It's a 68 Mercury Colony Park wagon. It was out of 15,500 they made. There was only 189 equipped like this with the red and the red interior. No roof rack. Doesn't have the extra seating in the rear like most of the wagons of the era did.
Sure.
Originally sold to a dealer in Pasadena, California, Foothill Motors. I've tracked it back to the third owner. Spent most of his life in California. It was actually the third owner had a lot of cars that he used in movie and TV production. So at some point it could have been in a show somewhere. But it went to a collector in Twin Falls, Idaho, is where I bought it out of. The Ford dealer there in Twin Falls has about 30 of these fake Woody wagons.
Sure.
And but it only has 60,000 miles. I've spent a ton of money. I'm no mechanic, so I'm paying other people to work on it. So
yeah.
Had to sort out a bunch of electrical issues, brake issues, carburetor issues. But interior is really nice. The little camping setup I have, Coleman stove, the picnic basket, and the lantern were wedding gifts to my wife and I in 1978.
Really?
I paid $10 for the Coleman picnic jug and $20 for the convertible ice chest thing.
Yeah.
The record player, Magnavox stereo record player, is I paid $20 for it. I spent $220 getting it repaired at Burlingame Radio and TV. So
this is such a cool setup.
Yeah, running off an AC inverter, so I actually have AC power there.
Is this your first time at the show?
It is. Yeah, I went to the little show they did at the Cusworth Thriftway, the Friday night one,
right,
about 3 weeks ago. That's how I heard about it.
Yeah.
And
how do you feel about this show so far?
It's great. I mean, you know, people are having a good time driving around, and a few people stop, and I just can't believe how many cars it goes, you know, way back around this building and then way out past the grandstand with more cars. So.
Yeah, man, we haven't even really hit the tip of the iceberg at
yeah.
this point.
Yeah. So, no, it's fat. It's a fun old hobby, but just a real occasional driver for me. It
yeah.
gets terrible mileage.
Well, thank you so much for your time,
hey,
Scott.
Okay, thank you. Thanks for stopping by.
All right, this is Tyler Clausen out in the field. Not Tyler Frankie for once. Usually the other guy does it, and I'm the one in the studio making everything look pretty. What was your guys' names?
I'm Alex.
Alex, good to meet you.
I'm Sean.
Sean, good to meet you. So which cars are yours?
They're on the other end of the fairground.
Oh, okay. So you guys are taking a walk around to take a look.
We're taking a walk, yes.
Okay. So do you want to tell me about just kind of the event? Have you guys been here before?
Yes, but not this. This is the first time for this.
For the drive-through sort of thing?
Event.
Yeah.
Yes.
How do you guys feel about that whole setup?
I was actually surprised about how many people are actually driving through.
Yeah, man.
I was surprised big time. The car turnout didn't because everyone's pent up and they wanted
sure.
out. But
sure.
the drive-through's amazing.
Yeah. And what kind of cars do you guys have at the show here?
Well, I've got a 67 Plymouth Valiant.
Okay.
Yeah.
67 Dodge Dart.
All right. Did you guys, like, actively seek those cars out, or is it just something that you guys kind of fell into?
It's a curse.
Yeah.
It just happens.
Yeah.
They find you.
Yeah, they find you. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah,
awesome.
You
yeah you're in the hobby long enough, and the car finds you. You don't really have to find the car.
Sure. Yeah. Do you guys have any tips for people who are interested in starting to get into car shows or anything like that?
Save money.
Yeah, save money.
That makes sense.
Do it now while, if you can afford to do it now.
Right.
Because it's one of those things
expensive.
That just keeps getting more and more expensive as the years
yeah,
go by.
Yeah, everything keeps getting, I mean, the yes. classic cars stay classic and become more classic, right?
And there's fewer of them every day.
Yeah, for sure.
They get wrecked.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for your time, guys.
You're
really
welcome.
You're welcome.
It.
Thank
yep.
you.
How's it going?
Not bad. I'm Keaton Beckham.
All right, Keaton, and you have a car here.
I do.
And what kind of car is it?
It's a 1996 Saab 9000 CSE Turbo.
Saab 9000, I'm sorry, what was that?
CSE Turbo.
Okay, all right. And why'd you decide to bring it to the car show?
Well, not a lot of people have those kind of cars. There's nothing like a Saab, so, yeah.
Is it something that you just kind of inherited, or did you go looking for it?
I was looking for them, yeah.
Is that like your car or choice?
Like yeah, I like Saabs.
Nice, very cool, man. And tell me about the show. What do you think of the show this year?
Yeah, good turnout. We have lots of cars here. So,
yeah?
Yeah.
Do you like this drive-through sort of deal with everyone staying in their cars?
I mean, it's a good idea right now, but it's cool to talk to people about your cars.
Right.
Show what's going on.
You put
so.
A lot of work into it. You want to
yeah.
nerd out about it, right?
Pretty much, yeah.
Cool, man. Do you have any tips or anything for people who might be interested in starting up the process of getting a car in a show?
Don't go overboard with your build. Just focus on getting it going and don't go crazy right off the bat.
All right. Well, man, thanks so much.
Joining us now is Donna Ellison of Ellison Team Homes, a firm serving all across the Portland metro area with three realtors based right here in Canby. Donna, can you tell us how Ellison Team Homes started?
I started in real estate. I grew up with my dad. He was a realtor. So I'm a second generation broker, and I grew up with him on weekends. And I learned a lot eventually working with him for several years and then going out on my own. Our family moved to Canby a couple of years ago, but we really didn't know how it was gonna go. And within the first probably 3 months of being here, we literally fell head over heels in love with this place. We love the community, the spirit here. The first Christmas at Waite Park, I was literally crying because everybody was walking around saying Merry Christmas and people were drinking hot chocolate and we got in a carriage ride with the horse and it was just too much. You just realize it's special here. Real estate's always been my passion. It is my professional love. I enjoy the people, the relationships. So much comes out of kind of the intensity that you spend with people. You're really up in their business for a period of time. And sometimes it's a couple months, sometimes it's a couple years, sometimes it's a lifetime. I feel very blessed at this point to have people that have been with me for almost my entire career. Clients that have bought and sold maybe 2, 3, 4, or 5 homes. I have one client that's bought and sold 8 homes with me. Three generations. It's a beautiful business. It makes for a very full life.
How can people find you?
How can they not, really? We have a website, www.ellisonteamhomes.com.
Well, thank you, Donna.
Thank you for having me.
Police beat for July 28th through August 10th. On July 28th at 3:18 p.m., response to a business where an unauthorized person was sleeping in the back of a vehicle. The uncooperative and intoxicated person was notified that he was trespassed from the location before he walked away. On July 29th at 12:20 a.m., a driver was arrested for possession of heroin, and his uninsured vehicle was impounded. I'm also guessing his heroin was impounded, but they never make that note. At 9:06 p.m., following a traffic stop, a suspended, uninsured driver was arrested for possession of methamphetamine, resisting arrest, and interfering with a police officer. Just gotta love those guys. On July 30th at 1:06 p.m., a driver under the age of 21 was cited for marijuana possession and using a mobile device while driving. You get to decide which of those two things is worse. A family member was contacted to retrieve the vehicle. At 4:47, an unlicensed and uninsured juvenile driver was arrested for DUI, alcohol, reckless driving, and reckless endangerment. And at 8:49 p.m., a driver was arrested for DUI alcohol. On July 31st at 12:04 p.m., report of a missing stolen vehicle's license plate. And I don't like to associate anything with other things that have been reported in that same day, but not even an hour later, at 12:58 p.m., a driver was cited for not having a license or insurance and for having illegally switched the plates on their vehicle. So hopefully that means they found the perpetrator. On August 1st at 10:10 a.m., response to a report of a suspicious person starting a fire near a grocery store. Was starting the fire the suspicious thing, or were they just suspicious already and then they started the fire? That's the question. I need the answer to that question. Officers located and extinguished the fire in a sink inside a nearby public restroom. A transient who admitted starting the fire was cited for reckless burning and was trespassed from the area. On August 2nd at 7:29 p.m., a driver racing through a neighborhood was arrested for reckless driving. At 7:46 p.m., response to a report of a burglary in progress at a school. Several juveniles were located inside the building and subsequently released to their parents. I'm not saying that this is the case, but that's the plot line to Buffy the Vampire Slayer a lot. So, I mean, how do we know that they weren't taking down vampires at night? Yeah, is there proof? I don't know. Moving on. August 3rd at 6:25 a.m., report of theft of items from the front porch of someone's residence. Jeez, nothing is safe nowadays. At 10:04 a.m., report of identity theft after a victim learned out-of-state unemployment benefits had been obtained using the victim's name. I mean, they weren't working in that state, so that makes sense. At 10:25 p.m., response to a report of a dog in the roadway. Because the dog did not have a collar or identification tags, it was transported to Clackamas County Animal Services. Wow, that's actually super sad. If you're missing a dog, you should definitely check there. August 4th at 3:45 p.m., report of theft of items from a vending machine. How do you steal stuff from a vending machine? That doesn't even make any sense. How? On August 5th at 9:07 a.m., multiple firearms were turned into police for destruction. At 11:17 a.m., report of a dog being attacked by a loose and unaccompanied dog. At 4:49 p.m., an uninsured vehicle being driven by a suspended driver was impounded. August 6th at 3:26 a.m., a transient refusing to identify himself was arrested for fraudulent use of a credit card and identity theft. At 7:50 p.m., a baggie containing a white substance suspected to be methamphetamine, and we are in Canby, so that's a pretty good suspicion, was found near a store and turned into police. Turns out it was baking soda. Somebody just forgot to take it home and bake cookies. I'm joking. That's not part of the report at all. I am not a cop. I shouldn't be making jokes about that. On August 7th at 1:07 a.m., a person was arrested at a convenience store on an outstanding felony warrant. At 8:38 p.m., report of theft of a political yard sign. That sucks. I mean, that's also petty, too. But whatever. 9:30 p.m., an unlicensed driver without identification who stated he did not know his age was cited and released for failing to carry and present a license. August 8th at 4 p.m., report of a suspected intoxicated driver speeding and swerving on the roadway. The suspect was later located at her residence, because just because you get home doesn't mean you didn't do the crime. At 4:49 p.m., response to a domestic disturbance, one arrest was made. On August 9th at 3:13 p.m., following a report of an assault, a suspect was located and arrested for assault, criminal mischief, possession, felon in possession of restricted weapon, and unlawful use of a weapon. Yeah, they're almost always unlawful uses. And finally, on August 10th at 9:23 a.m., response to a two-vehicle traffic crash. One driver was cited for failing to obey a traffic control device. And 10:03 a.m., report of items being taken from a residential garage. It is believed that the theft gained access through the open garage door, also known as a giant hole in the side of the house. Hey, Frankie, you okay? You seem kind of down.
Yeah, just bummed. Miss going to the Wild Hare. I know you can still get takeout and all, but it's just not the same.
You know they're open again, right?
What?
Yeah, they've been open for a while now. Don't you cover, like, the news?
Hey, I'm only human, okay?
Okay. Well, I can tell you that the Wild Hare and their amazing staff are thrilled to be open again for delicious meals and fun times. They are strictly following all the recommended safety guidelines, and they have the only covered outdoor patio in Canby, with lots of tables spaced 6 feet apart and umbrellas also spaced 6 feet apart, and fantastic ambiance. And hey, if you're still more comfortable with carryout, they can hook you up there too. Find their menu and other information online at thewildhairsaloon.net or check them out in Canby and Oregon City. Anything to add, Frankie? Frankie? Oh, I guess he left. God, he must have been really hungry. Now Hear This Canby is produced by me, Tyler Clausen. Our content director and star reporter is Tyler Frankie. And of course, our show is edited by Cameron Clausen. We also feature the vocal talents of Joy Struby and James Walden. So a round of applause to them. The song that you're hearing right now is Canby by singer-songwriter Olivia Harms, used with her permission. To find more work from her, you can visit her website, olivia13.com. Now Hear This Cambie is dedicated to preserving independent local journalism and redefining local news with our fun, fresh, and energetic brand of storytelling. Our sincere thanks to our local sponsors who make this show possible. Please show your appreciation by supporting the small businesses who support us.
The production of Now Hear This Studios, Cambie's locally owned, full-service audio, video, and media production company. Our mission is to produce the best content in the universe, and we'd love to help you do it. Find us online at nhtstudios.com.
I will take a motion to adjourn.
I just moved it.
I didn't even ask for it, though.